Friday night it is kicking off, the Riverland Wine and Food Festival. And one of the big events coming up is at 919 Wines. Jenny Semler joins me. Morning, Jenny. How are you?
Good morning. Really well, thanks.
Now, you've got a couple of big days coming up there, haven't you?
Huge, yes. Huge.
And how are the tickets going?
Really well, actually. They've started to sell really like hotcakes.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to be involved with it? Because you've got a brunch, you've got a lunch, and then a chill afternoon. So you've got three sessions, so plenty of opportunities, and Saturday and Sunday as well. What does it involve?
So we've teamed up with Illilangi Gourmet Foods to bring the finest produce of the Riverland.
Lovely.
So you get a little picnic box from Illilangi with some beautiful locally produced olives, metwurst, little tart, warm little tart, and some cheese from the Adelaide Hills because we don't produce dairy locally.
Okay, yep. You had me at metwurst. I'm in.
Yeah. There's a big metwurst following around the region.
Oh, absolutely.
Not looking at any favourite band members at all. and then you get your complimentary glass of wine with that.
Yep, lovely.
From us.
Obviously a drop of 919's finest.
A drop of 919's finest. Illilangi will also be launching a couple of wines as well.
Okay.
Because they do produce a white and a red. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can just kick back, relax. You can order a bottle of wine if you want to, order another glass if you want to. So that's brunch. At lunchtime, we will be doing something similar, except that we will have the Bowerbirds to entertain.
This is an actual band. You haven't got a heap of Bowerbirds giving everyone the
It's a lovely it's a lovely duet who sing sort of chilled, laid-back 70s, 80s.
Oh, nice.
Sort of soft jazz, soft sort of middle-of-the-road country.
Yeah.
Just a really nice, chill
Fine music for some fine food and fine wine.
Because
you don't want it too heavy when you're enjoying a nice platter and a fine drop, do you?
That's exactly right. And, they've been singing for us before. Arthur Mignon was in the... She was Grisabella in the... Riverland Musical Society's Cats.
Okay,
so she's got a fine voice. And then in the afternoon, you just get to kick back and stay up until closing, really. So.
All right. So where is it going to be set up? Pretty much amongst the vineyard, isn't it?
It's in the cellar door garden, okay, which is between the actual cellar where we make the wine and the vines.
Yep.
So everything's, of course, outside, and the weather's meant to be not too bad. Mm. So, it'll be fantastic.
So do you grow all your own varietals?
We have two that we purchase from local growers.
Okay.
But everything else we grow either at 919 in Glossop there, mm-hmm, or at our larger vineyard, which is in Loxton.
Okay, that's what I didn't know that.
We like to think we're international moguls because we have one foot on either side of the river.
Yeah. That's interesting. Have you ever taken the wine overseas?
Yes, actually, we exported our pale dry Apera through to Sweden,
mm-hmm,
where it's got a bit of a cult following.
One of the other things that I love, and I mentioned this to you, is one of your promotional photos, which is yourself and Eric, your husband.
Yes.
Yep. Sitting in a canoe in the middle of the vineyard, fishing for wine. That looks like it would have been a lot of fun putting that together.
That was a heap of fun putting that together. I mean, what we really wanted to convey with that photo, we did a whole series of them, but there's one photo that gets more airplay than any.
Yep, absolutely.
What we wanted to convey was that actually it's from our soil, and the river is something absolutely unique to this region. And so our wines are uniquely Riverland, and they're high class.
Out of all your wines, I mean, I know this is like asking who's your favourite child.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But out of your range of wines, what's your go-to?
Depends on my mood and it depends on this, just like your children.
Okay,
so,
right, fair enough.
at the moment, I'm drinking Touriga Nacional because it's quite it's an elegant red. But when it's a celebration or a party or whatever, we just crack out the sparkling Giriff.
Mm.
I know our Giriff has got a huge fan base.
So you're mentioning some varieties here that I would say, probably aren't that common.
No, we've chosen varieties that go really well in this climate. So we know that the Riverland has got this amazing river, but we've also got quite a hot climate. So there's no point in us producing something like Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Noir, for example, because they're just not suited for this region. So we've looked to places like Portugal and Italy and Spain for our inspiration. And we've chosen varieties that are really popular in those regions because they make amazing wines in those regions. And in fact, they make amazing wines here.
Yeah. So, Well, where did the love of wine come? Is it something you guys have had all your life? Or I think wine, it's as you get older kind of a thing? Is that what I think, in my experience.
I don't know. I started off like everyone else with sweet white.
Yeah, on the old West Coast coolers.
No, they hadn't invented them in those days, but certainly you might remember Black Tower. Or...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And I think the equivalent these days would be to start off with a Moscato or what have you. So, you know, I've done the classic wine journey, starting off at sweet white, moving to dry white and then red.
Yep.
And fortified, so yeah.
Moscato, it's kind of like a light beer, isn't it? It's sort of a lower alcohol wine, is that right?
It can be. The very best Moscatos are absolutely amazingly refreshing, especially when they're chilled. The first Moscato I had that I really loved was when I was in France. And they served it in this tiny little aperitif glass. And yeah, it was just fabulous. So,
isn't that interesting? Because the glass contributes quite a lot, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
You've got to have the right glass. If you're not drinking it out of the right thing, you're not going to get the full value, or the experience.
I have to say, I will go out of my way to have glass rather than plastic. Paper cups, yes, in a pinch, but
What are your thoughts on wine in a can?
It's actually becoming a real thing.
I know. That's why I asked the question.
I don't like it because I can taste it.
You're right.
I can taste the can, and I can actually, they have a plastic liner inside that I can taste as well.
Oh, really? So it's not wine on the actually on the can?
No. Okay. It's got a lining in it, but they're so convenient and they're very light, and you can do some really innovative things with it. So
So you'll be sticking to the traditional bottle.
At this stage, yes. Although I have toyed with the idea, I have to say.
Oh, well, here we go. We're getting a little bit of... What are your thoughts on... I'm just sort of throwing things out here. The changes I've seen in wine over the years, from the traditional cork to the screw cap. You knew it was coming. Better or worse?
Absolutely better.
The screw top? Reasons why?
Technical reasons. I really hate spending a lot of money on wine that I then pour down the sink. Okay. Because the corks failed, so...
Or you could always finish the bottle. Responsibly, of course.
No, I find that the issues with the cork give me an upset stomach. So,
really? Isn't that interesting?
So...
Because it sort of started out, there was one or two that were doing it, and then it was like, people sort of, I don't know about this. And now it's very rare you come across a corked bottle of wine. Unless you're going very deep into the cellar.
We still have corks in our personal wine collection.
Okay.
Opened one from the US the other day. Lovely wine, but I could taste the cork. So.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
So we've decided that none of our wines will have cork. Even our sparkling wine, we've got Crown Seal on. Right. So it's so easy to open. You just use a beer opener. You still get all that...
Yeah, right. So I was going to say, you've got to get the explosion kind of sound.
Oh, yeah.
Any of that. Right, so how do we get hold of tickets to attend one of these great events? So you've got Saturday and Sunday. What times are we looking at? Because I know it's going to be hard because you're still restricted with the COVID stuff. Yes. So you're going to have to be careful.
So we're doing brunch at 10.
Okay.
That goes through till just before 12. Gives us a little time to do all our COVID procedures between sessions. Lunch is at 12 through till 2. And then a little after 2, we've got the Chill and Graze. So you just jump onto our website at 919wines.com.au. Just scroll down after the main picture and there's a link there through to it. And you select which session, which day, and then you get an option of having a standard picnic box, or if you've got dietary requirements such as an allergy or some such, you can select that, and you just pop your requirements in the notes when you check out. So
and away you go. But tickets are selling very, very fast.
Yes, I was sitting at home last night watching it go kaping kaping.
So in real time. So get on in. You don't want to miss it. It's a great opportunity just to sit back and relax, enjoy some fine food and some wine. That's what it's all about.
And I'm looking forward to it too, because I love listening to the music as it's happening, and I love meeting all those lovely people as
absolutely
they come.
And people are going to be able to talk to you and Eric about the wine.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're happy to take them through.
Yep. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Get onto it. 919wines.com.au. Get your tickets. All part of the Riverland Wine and Food Festival coming up this weekend. Jenny, thanks for your time this morning. You enjoy the weekend.
You too.